Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of Mind Shift Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Clint Haycock. I'm doing this recording. I've been home maybe about 30 minutes today. I just flew in from SeaTac Airport, Seattle, into Manchester. I've been home for about 30 minutes here on the rock back in North Wales. And I figured, you know what? I better do this podcast recording, get it out today on Friday before the jet lag hits me and I'm completely wiped out. So as you know, if you've been listening to my show for any length of time, the last couple of months, you'll know that I've been flying back and forth across the pond from Manchester to Seattle to work and also visit my father-in-law, who was diagnosed with a brain tumor about 6 months ago. And my wife, Lisa, basically quit her job around 4 months ago and moved over there to take care of him virtually full time, 24/7. And sadly, he did pass away a few weeks ago. But on the plus side, you know, we were all there the night before he went. Everyone had their chance to say their goodbyes, kind of a thing. And he was very peaceful. He was in no pain. He just slipped away, went to sleep, and just slipped away. And so I guess as far as a death with dignity sort of thing, you know, that's the best that you could hope for. I hope I go the same way, just kind of slip away peacefully and in no pain. So thanks to Poppy Messick, unfortunately, who did pass away at only 72 years of age, but he was kind of like a father figure to me, so he will be hugely missed. And I know there are going to be thousands of people, it seems like, who want to come. I don't know how many people are going to come to his memorial service on the 18th of August in Seattle, but there's going to be a huge outpouring from the community because he touched so many lives on so many levels. He was just a kind and generous person who just helped everybody that he possibly could. And so from that point of view, he will be hugely missed and he leaves a massive hole. So goodbye to Poppy Messick. It was a fantastic pleasure to have known him all the years that I did, going back to when I was in high school playing soccer with my now brother-in-law, Lewis, and just having the chance to have a relationship with him and his wife. So he will be hugely missed, as I say. Definitely a life well lived. So this is what's been going on with me and my wife, Lisa. I've been shuttling back and forth at least, I don't know, this is my third trip, and I'm going back again in September. Now, one of the really cool things that's come out of all these trips back and forth, if you listened in, you know that we had a couple of Seattle area ex-evangelical meetups. Well, in September, actually the 16th of September to be precise, we are going to be doing a live podcast recording, a Mind Shift live audience podcast recording in the Seattle area. This is timed to coincide with a Derek Webb concert that's on the 15th of September, and a lot of people are coming in for that gig. People are coming down from Canada, coming up from Portland, coming from all over the place, so this is going to be really cool. So I've been brainstorming, so what I'm going to do is we're going to actually interview, I'm going to be talking to Stacey Ray, the resting traveler who was on this show a few months ago. She's actually coming down with a van load of people from Canada, and so we've kind of been going back and forth about how we could do this. So here's what's going to happen. Basically, I'm going to interview Stacey for a little bit, and then we're going to open it up to questions and dialogue from the audience. Now, how can you be involved in that process? Well, you can be involved even if you physically cannot be there for this podcast recording. How can you do that? We want people to submit questions or topics for us to discuss. And if you do, we're going to vote on who has the best question, the best topic. The winner of that gets a prize or something. I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm pretty sure that this will include some signed copies of Stacey's new book, Into the Forest, and there may be some Mind Shift Podcast t-shirts going out as well. So please submit your questions, your topic for that live podcast on the 16th of September, coming up in just a little bit here. Now, how can you get a hold of me? How can you get a hold of Stacey Ray? Well, you can follow me on Twitter at MindShift2018. You can also get a hold of Stacey Ray at Stacey, that's STACIE, underscore Ray, RAE, underscore 11. So Stacey Ray 11, and you can follow me or Stacey on Twitter. You can message us with your question, with your topic. And as I say, we're going to take a vote on this, and the best question, the best topic is going to win some prizes. So stay tuned for that coming up in the month of September. So be sure and submit your questions before then. Now we got to talk about this title of this episode today. I've been having a lot of fun on Twitter the last couple of weeks while I've been in Seattle tweeting with the ex-evangelical community. And that's why I decided to call this episode today, Crazy Church Stories and Dinner with the Devil. Now, what does dinner with the devil have to do with crazy church stories? Well, as I go along, I think the dinner with the devil part will become a little bit more clear. But as I said, I've been having a ton of fun with all these people on Twitter going back and forth and just getting some hilarious responses to some questions that I asked. Now, one of the things I did in Seattle was I recorded a podcast with a friend of mine, Jeff Judd, and that's going to be coming out in a few weeks. Now, we sat down and we talked about, we went to Christian high school together back in the 80s, and it was a fundamentalist, real conservative Christian school in the Seattle area. In fact, if you follow me on Instagram, I posted a picture. I stopped by the school the other day as I was driving past. I thought, hey, there's my alma mater. I better stop and get a selfie in front of their sign. So I put that up on Instagram, and it's also on the Mindshift podcast page on Facebook. So you can see why today I would probably, no, not probably, certainly get kicked out of that same Christian school for having hair too long, facial hair too long, and certainly the full sleeve tattoos would not fly. I'm pretty sure they're not going to be inviting me back to speak at a chapel service that is a mandatory chapel service anytime soon. Now, one of the things that Jeff and I talked about was, as I say, all these crazy stories that came out of growing up evangelical. And that's why I've called that episode, You Can't Make This Shit Up, Growing Up Evangelical. You really can't. Truth is stranger than fiction. It's unbelievable, the insane, the crazy stories that come out of life in, you know, evangelical churches and this fundamentalist Christian school. And we tell some just nutty stories. And in fact, one of the guys I was supposed to be meeting up with, Bob Grayman, he was also at that same Christian school at the same time that Jeff and I were. He was in Seattle while I was there, but unfortunately we didn't connect up. So I'm hoping to chase him up. He actually lives down in California. So I want to try to get Bob on this podcast as well, because Jeff talks a lot about him and Bob were real close friends. And all these stories about growing up evangelical, it really made me think, you know, there's some crazy crap out there and some weird, bizarre stories. So I tweeted the other day, I asked the ex-evangelicals, I said, ex-evangelical people, what's the craziest church story from when you were still part of the evangelical machine? I've got so many from when I was an elder slash pastor. Share your crazy stories. Most insane ones will end up in a podcast. I got some hilarious responses. In fact, I don't know how many, about 75 different responses. And I want you to vote. I want you to tell me which one you think is the craziest, the funniest. Some are very poignant, but some of these, you can't make this shit up, literally. So you tell me, which tweet do you think is the funniest one? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the person that you vote that has the funniest or craziest church story, I'm going to give them a prize. They are going to win a free Mindshift podcast t-shirt, courtesy of me. So I want you to tell me which one you think is the nuttiest, the craziest one. So this is my tweet. I started the ball rolling. I told a story. I said, our church hosted a small groups fair after the service. And I remember this very distinctly when I was the pastor. One angry leader demanded, she came up to me and she said, hey, that other group brought a tray of brownies. They're attracting more people. So I said, what do you want me to do about it, lady? And she said, I want you to take their brownies away. I said, no, I'm not doing that. And then I shared another tweet just again to kind of keep the ball rolling. I remember one lady, somehow this lady was in charge of our church decorating. I don't know how she got this gig. I don't know how this happened. She kind of appointed herself. But one morning she came up to me. It was in December and she'd had all these Christmas decorations up for a week or so. She was enraged. She was shouting at me one Sunday morning before the service started. Well, apparently what she was so upset about, she'd put Christmas lights over every window, but one of the lights over one of the windows didn't get plugged in. And apparently I was supposed to be in charge of that before everybody showed up, because of course I was there hours before the service started. But my fault, apparently. Now the row was full of people and it was too late. We couldn't reach over there and plug the Christmas lights in, and it didn't match all the other windows whose lights were on. Oh, the horrors of it all. And she was so upset. Now, these are crazy stories. I got one more. An ex-pastor friend joined our church. Him and his wife came to our church. One of the things he told me was, he said, "Listen, man, I know what it's like to be a pastor. I got your back, bro." That's what he told me. Well, a couple of months later, my wife came to me and she said, "I got this angry email from your friend's wife." Then we had a meeting with them that they requested, and they ended up leaving the church over the issue after she stabbed us in the back. What was the issue? Well, we had the audacity to show the kids the Garfield movie one Sunday during a church meeting that we did all the work and all the preparation for. We just didn't have anyone to take care of the kids, so we put a Garfield movie on. They were enraged about this because they expected spiritual content from this church meeting. And, you know, the kids can't watch a secular movie on a Sunday. So this guy that said he had my back ended up stabbing me in the back and leaving the church over this insane stuff. So these are some of the stories I shared when I was an elder, when I was a pastor. Now, here's some funny ones. A heretical Jesus follower at Bible v. Heretic said, "One time, a medevac landed in the church parking lot before the evening service because a person had had a motorcycle accident near the church. Instead of praying for the injured person, a deacon cursed out the first responders for not letting us get to the building for service." This is what heretical Jesus follower said. And I said, "Oh dear, seriously?" And this person said, "That was basically my response as I watched the whole thing unfold," to which I responded, "You literally cannot make this stuff up. You can't. It's bizarre beyond all imagination." And Lily Warrior, she said, "I was told by the other single women in the congregation that I was a Jezebel. Why? Because single men were dating me and not them. I think they meant I was a witch of some kind. They tried to report me to the pastor because I was dating someone they wanted to date. It didn't work." To which I replied, "That Jezebel spirit charge fits almost any woman, regardless of the context, person, or situation." And it's funny because I've been going back and forth with Lily Warrior, and every time she says something funny, she's quite a strong, independent woman. I say, "Well, here comes that Jezebel spirit again, so watch out." You know, and at Queen of Egypt 79 said, "I had the same experience responding to Lily Warrior. Married women saw me as a threat and singles were insanely jealous. I couldn't trust the single women. For a long time, I didn't fully trust any single woman." And here's another one from Johanna Kay at Haunting Letters. She says, "A visiting speaker said that graffiti and porn shops in town existed because we had allowed them to happen and hadn't done enough spiritual warfare." To which I responded, "Well, obviously, I saw a story on a news documentary show about some nutty pastor down in Florida who regularly walks the red light district at night, praying in tongues that God would close down the strip clubs and adult bookstores." It's crazy. And here's Ahab at Ahab of Gilead. He said, "I heard a preacher claim that he and his followers brought down crime in his city by engaging in such spiritual mapping. Another time, I met an apostolic man who claimed that God held off the rain every time he and his friend performed spiritual mapping. Ugh." To which I responded, "Pray for over your city. The police will thank you for it." And you know, Ahab responded, "It annoyed me when people like that took credit for alleged drops in crime rates. Police, criminal justice professionals, and community groups should have gotten the credit, but don't tell the prayer warriors that." Now, this is another one. Heretical Jesus follower said, "I was the first woman who was acknowledged as the VBS coordinator. Women had been running it for years, but their husbands were the official coordinators because women aren't allowed to lead, of course." To which I responded, "Well, according to John Piper, nor should they be allowed to teach men in seminary either." Now, here's a funny one from Robbie J. at Robbie Klinger. She said, "Once had a minister's wife staple the slit on the back of my skirt shut when I was a teen. Yes, really." To which I responded, "Seriously?" And she said, "Yep, serious as a heart attack. Another time in the middle of service, a church mother sitting in the pew behind me pulled my skirt down to cover my knees after it had ridden up a little. This congregation treated each other's kids like their own, which is how they got away with it." And to which I responded, "Showing a little too much knee, were we? Might tempt a man to sin and lead him astray, and if he did, it'd be your fault." To which Robbie J said, "Oh, don't even get me started on purity culture and how as a youth I was forced to sign a true love waits pledge card." And here's Lady G63. She said, "Came into church one morning and decided to sit under the balcony in a pew. Apparently that seat belonged to someone elderly who showed up and proceeded to push me over and wedge himself between me and the end of the pew. Felt so welcomed." And here's Christian Janeway at Christian Janeway. She says, "Ha, my second week at a new church and 8 months pregnant with two other kids under five, the kids ministry receptionist said we needed to get our act together and get there on time, to which I responded, because that's really what's important. And it makes God happy too. Punctuality at church on Sunday mornings." And here's Daniel Jackson at Aaron Jackson D. Says, "I was told by an elderly congregant that Nancy Pelosi's actions were foretold in the book of Ezekiel, and within 2 years, we would all be consumed in fire due to her. So, yeah, still waiting on that one to happen." To which I responded, "You know, I studied Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, for 3+ years for my doctorate, and I can tell you I never came across Nancy Pelosi in the book of Ezekiel." And Daniel replied, "Apparently being the first female speaker of the house is a harbinger of the apocalypse." And I said, "Yeah, that's it. Maybe I wasn't looking hard enough for her. My bad." Now here's at sometimes PDX says, "One attractive friend had 3 different guys in the church tell her that God had told them to marry her. I suspect this happens in nearly every church." To which I responded, "Oh yes, I've heard that from a formerly single friend in church too. Sometimes it might even work. After all, what better place than a church or a Bible college to meet prospective mates?" Now here's Liz Clark at The Liz Clark. She says, "Our youth group grew rapidly while my husband and I were youth pastors years ago at a small conservative church. One of the new teens, with a very troubled home life, loved to sing and joined the choir, but was yelled at by the pastor's wife for wearing jeans to her first choir practice. And I said, way to welcome the new kid. And it was so important of an issue, too. Definitely a hill worth dying on." To which Liz Clark responded, "Right? She was in tears after being shamed in front of the whole choir. No one spoke up for her. We weren't there. Another teen committed the grave sin of attending church with black fingernail polish on his nails and was asked to leave. We stepped down shortly after that." And I responded, "And not a minute too soon." And here comes at sometimes PDX again, says, "During pastoral pre-marriage meeting, the pastor mumbled something about me being a pimp. That same pastor, a few years earlier, gave a public word of knowledge that I was struggling with homosexual feelings. I was so foolish to remain in that church." And then he says, "He was forced to resign a few years later and is now a salesman." And I responded, I said, "You know, our former pastor who married us, that's me and Lisa, he's now a taxi driver, or at least he was when I last heard of him. The dude embezzled money from the church. He had an affair with his secretary. And once he pushed his wife down the stairs after an argument." And at sometimes PDX says, "I wish church members would have spoken up long ago and encouraged him to forego ministry and become a taxi driver. No shame in realizing your character's not cut out for responsibility of ministry. There is shame in embezzling, having affairs, and being violent." And then Laura Lee got into it at Laura Lee and Duke. She said, "What kind of crazy are we talking? Worship leader having an affair with the head pastor crazy, or Holy Spirit giggle fits and altar blankets?" And I responded, "E, all of the above. The crazier the better." So she got in on the fun with some crazy church stories. The first one, she said, "Well, our third church split happened before my senior year of high school. One Sunday morning, instead of a sermon, we got to hear the pastor and worship leader confess that they were having an affair in way too much detail. Their kids were there. It was super awkward." And I responded, "You gotta be kidding me." "Oh," and she said, Laura Lee responded, "I just thought of a good one. It's more crazy in that it was irresponsible, but when I was a youth pastor intern, I organized fun events on Friday nights. I came up with the idea of mattress sledding. Well, just water enough was not enough to make the hill/mattress slippery enough. So some of the people that were there put some different chemicals on the mattresses to make them slide. It worked and it was pretty fun. We had to drive out about a half hour from the church and had to bring the mattress back in the van on the way back. Well, the fumes got us all high. So it was me, the youth pastor, a youth leader, and a handful of teenagers high as a kite driving back to church. The youth pastor started honking at deer that were not there and singing, "I believe I can fly." I got amazed by a helmet, and one of the kids that was with us was silent and looking at his feet the entire time. We're pretty sure he had a bad trip. The rest of us were laughing our asses off. There was a women's gathering at the church when we got back that we definitely disrupted. And I said, "Mattress sledding, huh? I want to be a part of that. That sounds like fun," including the part about being as high as a kite coming home from the trip. Then I got a couple of tweets from Marie at Gradient Writer, and she was talking about a Bible club. And one of the things she said was, in that same Bible club that she was a part of, this girl said in regards to masturbation, 5 seconds of pleasure isn't worth an eternity of hell. To which someone in the back replied, 5 seconds? And of course I said, damn, that was quick. 5 seconds, come on. Now here's a crazy one from Melissa at Hen Boots. She said, my dad, who is now a pastor, asked if I was dating at 14. I wasn't. He said, I'll take you to a doctor and have your hymen checked. And I said, oh, hell no. Come on, you got to be kidding me. That's purity culture run amok. Insane. And Portinia at FafaGirl5 responded to that and said, I was told numerous times that I was causing men to sin because I was pretty so many times. To which I responded, how dare you be pretty? Wow. Unbelievable. Now here's one from Polyamorous Pollyanna at Halila. And here's her crazy church story. She says, Sunday after Sandy Hook. Sunday school full of gun devotees talking about how if anyone wanders onto their porch in the middle of the night, the last thing they'd hear is ch-ch-ch. Went into the service and the preacher announced that it was Sanctity of Life Sunday. And of course I responded that evangelicals only care about the unborn fetus. After that, you're on your own for the most part. Now here's a crazy story from Portania at FafaGirl5. She said, the craziest story though is a 7-week crusade where we were intimidated into going to church every single night for 7 weeks, and every single sermon was about how we weren't good enough or pleasing God anyways. The guilt trip was huge. Now here's another crazy story from Marie at Gradient Writer. She said, once had a woman from church tell me that the devil has set times to marry witches since he can't be in different places at once. Didn't know that Satan was that organized. And of course, here's another nutty one from We Are the Spark at Jedi Slasher. It says, volunteered for building security. During our training, we were told that they expected us to take a bullet in order to protect the pastor. To which I respond, well, he was God's anointed and all. And here's a crazy one from Jesse Bennett at Jacob Ben. Says, my mother once got reprimanded for being too familiar, aka seen talking to in public, with her brother. And I said, oh, the humanity, how dare she talk to her brother? Here's a classic one from the Pot Stirrer podcast, which is at Pot Stirrer Cast. Said, I once shared with a friend that I was thinking about joining a Tai Chi class because my dad, a lifelong martial artist, recommended it to me. She said, I shouldn't do that. She said, martial arts is of the devil because it's intertwined with Eastern religions. And of course I responded, well, sure it is. Of course it is. I've heard that martial arts and accompanying meditation opens up your soul to demons. And it's true. Here's a classic one from Ashley Buell Schoenman at Ash Dunstan. She says, on a youth mission trip to a Navajo reservation, our leader told us that these people worshipped demons in their native religion, and that's why they were poor and alcoholics. Fucking racist, horrible shit, she said. Now here's a crazy story from at CPA in OH, Ohio. During a test for STARS, missionettes, I recited my pledges, Bible, and all the flags as I said them in school rather than the way they're done at that church. I failed the test because I told them it was stupid that I had to learn them two ways because I wasn't homeschooled. And of course I responded, the Jezebel spirit raises its ugly head once again. And here's a crazy story from Liz Clark at The Liz Clark. And she says, just realize you wrote craziest. As a kid, my parents served on a beach ministry in Florida with the sole focus of trying to find and convince gay people on the beach to join our freedom ministry, conversion therapy. I was brought along at times, bizarre, even then. And I responded, of course, oh yes, crazy. There are still evangelicals out there doing conversion therapy. And of course, there actually is. Now here's at sometimes PDX again, says the pastors told all the members that they had to put their best foot forward on Sundays and have happy, joyful personalities because church services were for making good impressions on the visitors and not about dealing with your problems. And I responded, well, that's the way to attract new members, of course. Plaster on a fake smile, cover up the hurt inside, and act happy. And here's one last one from Heretical Jesus Follower. Said, the church where I grew up racially segregated the children's program. The bus kids were perceived as too defiant and disruptive, and they were not allowed to come to the regular program night. The bus kids were mostly people of color. The church kids were mostly white. And I said, damn, bus kids, probably from the wrong side of the tracks, too. And she said, yep, pretty much. But let's go one more. Oh, man, says Marie at Gradient Rider, do I have a lot. I knew a few people who loved Kat Kerr, prophetess, and completely bought into her visions about heaven being full of flying cars, dinosaurs, and flowers made of cotton candy. Apparently, heaven is a Steven Spielberg film. Oh, let's just do one more. Here's a classic one from Devin Ora at Devin Liberati. She says, as an English teacher at a Christian high school, I was accused of being a literal witch, planted by a coven to lure students into witchcraft. The evidence? The Twilight books sitting on my classroom shelf. Oh, I got one more from Abby Vance at Abigail Vance. She says, I was walking down the church hallway with a friend who was wearing combat boots. The pastor of the church walked by and commented that she looked like she would be the type of girl that would have chains and whips in the bedroom. We were 16. Yeah, unbelievable. Now, what do all these crazy church stories have to do with having dinner with the devil? Well, as we were getting in on the fun of this whole situation, telling crazy church stories, Heretical Jesus Follower at Bible v. Heretic commented that my pastor was very much against charismatic / Pentecostals. I once asked if we could collect coats for a coat drive my friends were doing. You'd think I'd ask if we could invite Satan to dinner, to which Jean Marina at Jean Marina 4 said, I'm going to ignore the context and point out that having Satan over for dinner sounds awesome, except the stress about what to cook. What do you serve, a libertarian angel? And so, of course, we had to push it. I had to push it a little bit further. So I tweeted this morning. I said, inspired by at Jean Marina 4 and at Bible v. Heretic, apparently us ex-evangelical folks have essentially invited Satan himself to dinner. Heretics and all, don't you know? So we ask, what do you feed Lucifer for dinner? And of course, being the one who started this tweet thread, I of course said right away, the first thing we do is start with deviled eggs and deviled ham. And then someone on the ex-evangelical Facebook page where I posted the same question responded and said, well, of course, we have to feed him devil's food cake for dessert washed down with Fireball, of course. Now, I responded that, you know, Fireball is pretty good because obviously it's kind of the joke about being in hell and the flames and everything. But then I said, you know, if a lot of evangelical teetotalers, people who don't drink because that's what good Christians do or don't do, would say that alcohol is the devil's mouthwash. So that story checks out. Basically, we can serve Satan any kind of booze and he would approve of that, I'm sure, because it's the devil's mouthwash. And of course, someone had to respond and said, well, we got to have the devil's lettuce in there too. Of course, marijuana. We got to feed him some of that as well in the meal. And then at Susanna Critzo said, we got to feed ice cubes because it's the only thing hell cannot contain. And I responded, they say it's as rare as a snowflake in hell. So ice cubes might just survive. And she responded, well, if that's the case, then we'll serve vodka with ice cubes. And Jean Marina 4 said, yeah, that sounds right. I think the devil drinks dark liquor. And of course, Susanna Critzo said, well, unless he wants to be an angel of light for a moment. And Jean Marina replied, better get him a milkshake then. Now, here's a funny one. at Marshall Farigo at Mac Farigo said, the Eucharist, feed him the Eucharist. And I said, hey, I love that one. Maybe we'll slip it in something else so he doesn't notice. Then we can point and laugh hysterically. And then Lewis Dawkins at Lewis Dawkins XP says, well, Satan chews on Judas throughout eternity in Dante's Inferno. So I imagine there's some regurgitated Judas liver on the menu, maybe with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. And I said, you know, I can only think of Dumb and Dumber every time I hear that one. And then Patrick Antos at Pat Antos said, I would ask him what he wanted to eat, then serve him the opposite. He is the Prince of Lies. And I responded, well, guaranteed that'll be the last dinner he attended with you. And of course, Julie Washburn at Julie is Alive said, you must serve the devil's lettuce, which is marijuana. So we can't have that. Well, we can if we're going to serve dinner to the devil. So I hope you've had a bit of a laugh with some of these crazy church stories and, of course, dinner with the devil. Because if we're an ex-evangelical, someone who's left the church and possibly even the Christian faith, some evangelicals would say, yeah, well, you might as well be sitting down to dinner with the devil. So let's have a bit of a laugh about it and let's figure out what's going to be on the menu if we're going to serve the Prince of Darkness a good meal with deviled eggs, deviled ham, and some devil's lettuce, and some of the devil's mouthwash as well. So remember, be sure and tell me which story, which crazy thing you thought was the funniest or weirdest crazy evangelical church story, and the winner of that will receive a Mind Shift Podcast t-shirt. Also, I'm going to throw in a Mind Shift Podcast t-shirt for the person who had the funniest recipe or menu item for our devil's dinner. So let me know which one you thought was the best. So you can send me an email. You can send me a tweet or a direct message. You can get a hold of me on Facebook. There's a bunch of different ways you can contact me. Let me know which one you thought was the funniest or the most poignant crazy church story. And then that person will win a free t-shirt. And if you want to be a supporter of this show, you can also buy yourself a Mindshift Podcast t-shirt. And the links to TeePublic are in the show notes as well. You can also support the show on Patreon. Help me keep putting this great content out every Friday. Support independent media for as little as $1 a month. After all, what can you buy for a dollar? Hardly anything. In fact, I'll tell you can buy one thing for a dollar, and that is a ribeye steak at the Dollar Tree. Believe it or not, the Dollar Tree is actually selling steaks for a dollar. I went in there the other day just to try to find out what the hell one of these things looked like. I wanted to just see how could they sell a steak for $1. What does this thing look like? And what's it made out of anyway? And I asked the guy behind the counter, I said, hey man, I went back to the refrigerator section. I tried to find those dollar ribeye steaks, but there weren't any left. And where are they? And he said, oh man, those things go quick. They sell out like hotcakes. You got to get in here as soon as the shipment comes in. They fly out of there. So I couldn't even buy a ribeye steak for $1. But you can support Mindshift Podcast for as little as $1 a month. So forego that ribeye steak at the Dollar Tree and put that money to far better use by helping me pay for podcast expenses every month to bring you this show. And don't forget, too, that on the 16th of September, we're going to have that live podcast recording. If you can't make that, you can send me your questions, your topics for us to discuss. And the best question, the best topic will receive a prize or maybe more than one prize. I'm not really sure yet, but me and Stacy are working on what we're going to put together. So send us your questions, send us your topics. If you can't make that show, we're going to be putting it out as a podcast recording, so you'll be able to hear the whole thing. We'll probably split it up in maybe two or three parts, depending on how long it is. So that's coming out sometime around the middle or end of September, so you don't want to miss that for sure. And just to let you know before I let you go, what's coming up in terms of guests on the show? Well, next week we're going to have Andrew Jasko. He's a friend of mine from Facebook. He's part of our post-evangelical writers group. He is going to be doing a workshop on sexuality and religion, and we're going to be talking about that. He comes out of evangelicalism. He studied, went to Bible college, went to seminary, and there's going to be a fascinating story in terms of religion, sexuality, and all kinds of stuff that Andrew does for his writing and his research in terms of this workshop coming up. So that is going to be a really good conversation. Also, I'm going to be talking to Chris Stroop, who is a Facebook and Twitter personality, more of a Twitter personality, I guess. This guy's amazing. He's a mod for the Exvangelical Facebook group, and he's all over Twitter. He's got a large following. He is definitely an Exvangelical. He's a writer. He writes a lot of articles for Playboy about evangelicalism in America, and he is really in tune with the ex-evangelical movement. And so a lot like Daniel Hobbs, kind of the discussion that I had with him a few weeks ago, me and Chris Stroup are going to be getting into some of those topics as well, trying to get our heads around what's going on in terms of evangelicalism in America for sure, and what kind of an impact it's had on so many people's lives and on so many levels too. And then also, don't forget, I've got my episodes with my friend Jeff Jed coming out as well in the month of August. Also, this is really cool. My sister Valerie is coming back to visit North Wales. And if you know anything about me, and if you listen to this podcast at all, you'll know that I'm a huge World War I guy. Her and I are going to be going down to France and Belgium. We're taking some battlefield tours. We're meeting up with a good friend of ours, Mike Cunha, who hosts the Battles of the First World War podcast, as well as the Battle of Verdun podcast, both of which I would highly recommend. If you know anything about World War I or want to learn about it, check out Mike's podcast. We're going to be meeting Mike down in France. But one of the cool things about having Valerie here, if you listened last year, she and I did a podcast called Surviving a Fundamentalist Upbringing. And if you haven't heard that, you definitely need to listen in on that. You can find that on my website, preachersforum.com. You can also find that episode on Podbean too. So if you download the Podbean app to your phone or your tablet, you can catch every episode as it comes out each Friday. So all the archived episodes are on Podbean. You can catch that one with me and my sister Valerie. We're going to be doing a year later. What has changed in our lives? How have things changed for both her and me since we did our podcast last year? So I'm super excited to be bringing you that update with my sister Valerie Cunningham as well. So I hope you enjoyed these crazy church stories and had a laugh or two about our dinner with the devil. I hope that this has been entertaining for you. Please let me know which one you think is the best. And as I said before, the winner will receive a free Mindshift Podcast t-shirt courtesy of me. So I will catch you next Friday with Andrew Jasko. And then stay tuned for some great content coming your way in the next few weeks and months right here on Mindshift Podcast.